Peace, family. What's going on? This is Richie Moon from the Richie Moon Show, and I am elated to be here now and 100% in this moment. And you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with me, and I do appreciate that. Today, we have a special guest. Man, I've known this guy since grade school. I've seen him do music, be in front of the camera, behind the camera, become a father, grow up to be just a really solid human being, a fantastic all-around person. Welcome for the second time, part two, my guy Sage, aka Jamal. Is it Jamal? It's Jamal, aka Sage. Not Sage.
It's Jamal. I can't tell you the last time I even introduced myself as Sage. I've grown fully into my name. Jamal.
Okay, I love it. What was the transition from Sage to Jamal?
Ego death. It's just like ego death after ego death. You know, I love the nickname Sage. I still do. It's still my Instagram handle. But I learned along the way that these nicknames come with these attachments that you feel like people should think about you or know about you, you know, perception. But my name that connects me to this realm is Jamal. That's the name my mother gave me. It's an Arabic name. It's a beautiful Arabic name. It actually means handsome and beauty. And I've been enjoying my name a lot lately. So,
That's interesting. Yeah, names definitely do carry a signature. They carry an energy. And they, unbeknownst to you, you know, you may have good intentions about it, but that name may carry some weight that you didn't intend to carry.
Right.
Yeah, especially as a person that's given myself many titles and many nicknames. It's interesting that, you know, sometimes we end up coming full circle and just, you know, like you said, you use your name. You know, Richie Moon is just a play on Richard, and, you know, my nickname has always been Moon. So,
yeah.
You know, just come back around to just who you just authentically are.
Which is a crazy nickname to have in high school too, Moon. Like, that's so, I don't think we appreciated that nickname as much.
I didn't appreciate it during the time.
You know, like Moon as your nickname is, you're the only person who I know with that, you know, who's ever decided like, yeah, Moon. And like my relationship with the moon now is so deep and you know, so what a crazy, you know, thing.
Right. I'm a junior, so they gave me the name and they gave me the nickname.
And oh, they gave you the nickname as well? Your family? Yeah.
Yep.
Damn, that's what's up.
Yeah. And then seeing the plant, you know, I always had an affinity towards things that had like multiple personality. Like you know, I always loved Spider-Man. I always loved superheroes because of the duality of, you know, being a superhero and being a quote unquote regular person and all that. So,
yeah
that was played in it. So, man, you recently just went down to Brazil.
I just went down to Brazil.
What was that experience like?
That is, out of all the places where I've been, that's my favorite so far.
Okay, so before you tap into your experience with Brazil, can you name the places that you've been?
I'm Jamaican, so obviously summers in Jamaica, all through the States, Barcelona in Spain, all through the islands, I'm Argentina, Mexico, a few places in Mexico. Actually, I love Mexico. Peru, which is highly up there. Peru is probably a hard second, actually. I haven't got the chance to visit any of our African countries, but that's like on the bucket list for sure. But so far, Brazil is a different place, bro. It's a different place.
What inspired that? What inspired you to go there?
I always loved Brazil from an outsider point of view. Just like through its music and through its film, I've always loved Brazil. I love the language. It's my favorite language, Portuguese. It's a beautiful language, but it's also strong when it needs to be. And I don't know, I just always felt some kind of attachment to that place. And then I went, and then, boy, that is crazy. The land is beautiful. It's a rough place, you know? Like, it's like any, you know, place, like, of that essence. But, like, the land is beautiful. The nature, the trees, the flowers, they're bursting through the buildings. Like, it's not like New York City where it's just grown in tech and, you know, this heavy Western culture. Like, there's vines and you know, just like ivy and flowers everywhere. When it rains, it feels like you're in a greenhouse that's just being sprinkled with water. Like, it's just so beautiful, bro.
Wow, I love that. What were some of the foods like down there? I know there's a difference between food in the States and food in other countries.
The food was, I guess it was just like, I don't know, it was new for me. Mm-hmm. The closest I've ever been there was to Argentina. In Argentina, I had the best steak and burger I ever had in my life. But even being around that region, it's different from that as well. But it's very, a lot of seafood, which I love. I love seafood. So, yeah, and my body wasn't in a space where I was taking in a lot of meats. So I was really just eating a lot of seafood and vegetables as well. So.
Nice. I like that. Well, love that for you, man. It seems, man, you know, you're posting a lot of content from it. It seems serene. Seemed like an amazing place to be. Man, you went to Peru. I didn't know that, man. How was Peru? Because Peru has been calling me. It always pops up on my timeline. I love the architecture, the lore of Peru. How was that experience?
If Peru is calling you, go to Peru, bro. Peru is beautiful. I was in Cusco, and then I spent some time in Maha Templo in the Sacred Valleys of the Incas. That's where I had like my first ayahuasca ceremony, and I spent time in the temple with shamans. And Peru is just a... Peru, just like Brazil, is just like this place where you can see freedom happening in real time. They're untouched. Like, up in the mountains, they're almost completely untouched by Western civilization. Like, I was watching kids play with toys that they made themselves. You know, like, I can't tell you the last time I've seen anything like that here. Just small villages and towns you can just stop in and eat, and they're so welcoming. And it's just, you know, people walking llamas like they're dogs. And it's a different place, bro. It's like a realization of how we used to live with Earth, you know, and not on Earth. And it's just, it was an amazing experience.
Man, I love the way you just worded that. It's interesting that you describe it like that, because X-Men 97 just came back out, and they just recently had an episode where the mutants get their own, they get their homeland, Genosha, and that's what it was like. It was just seeing people live with the Earth and in harmony with the Earth, as opposed to just living on it and, you know, just taking it for its resources. Man, yeah, but yeah, Peru has definitely been calling me. So an ayahuasca experience, when you hear about ayahuasca, I think depending on the perspective you have, you kind of just naturally get inclined to want to do it. Were there any specific events that led to you wanting to take ayahuasca, or was it just out of curiosity?
The event was I was going through my dark night of the soul. And it called me directly, and I had a friend who had went earlier in the year, and he just, you know, he was just like, I think this is an experience you should have. And I went in blind. I didn't know anything about ayahuasca. The most extreme thing plant medicine I've done before that was mushrooms. And I thought, because I did mushrooms, that this would just be like, you know, like another 6 hours of whatever. And I was completely wrong. and that's how it called me, and I connected. And then since then, I've been on this journey. It was like, just, it opened the door for so much. And I've just been on this journey ever since.
I know I've never interviewed, or I've spoken to people that have done ayahuasca, but I never got a chance to speak to their experience. I've seen documentaries about it, and sometimes people have a very personal experience, very spiritual experience. Do you mind speaking about what you experienced on ayahuasca, or is that something that's close to your heart?
No, I can definitely tell you about some of the magic points and what it's done for me and how it's carried over. Okay. So, I got two, I want to say warning. I wouldn't call them warnings, but I got two foreshadowing kind of statements before the journey. And one of them was, it's 20 years of therapy in one night. And that is true, because that's been moving some shit up. And then
20
also,
years of therapy in one night.
In one night. Like, it'll unload some shit, bro. And then she shows you death so you can live better. And that happened to me directly, actually. I was in a horrible space. I was suicidal at the time. And there was this one moment where it was just stillness. It was stillness. I started in the temple, and by the time I got in this moment, I was laying on grass. I was seeing stars, the most beautiful sky I've ever seen in my entire life in the middle of the night. I saw a tree, a bush, and the side of a house, and I couldn't really move. It's like my body was like immobilized, but I can look around, and it was just still and quiet and peaceful. And then time passed. And as nothing happened, I had this realization of, oh, this is it. I think I did it. I killed myself, and this is the afterlife. And in that stillness, I started to regret my decision. And I was just like, why would I do that? You know, like, and then I was looking at the side of this house, and I was like, that's my grandmother's house. I can see a light on. My family's inside that house. My mother, my daughter, my aunts, everyone is inside that house. And I can't get to them because I made this really selfish decision over emotions that I just didn't know how to handle at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I remember thinking, if I had a second chance, damn. Like, you know, like if I just had one more chance at life. And after some more time passed, I was just like, wait a minute, I didn't kill myself. I'm tripping right now. I'm on ayahuasca. And then it was just like, I do have a second chance though. Like, and I can live a better life, you know, like, and then the rest of, after I learned the lesson, the rest of the lessons came in that I needed to learn. And that was just like the big, powerful one of just showing me stillness and death and just like the regret that might come with that from taking your own life. And then the realization that, oh, I have a second chance to live better, essentially.
Oof, man. She shows you death to make life better. Man, that is a powerful and profound statement. Man, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, well, I'll make sure to tell you about my experience when I come.
Oh, I can't wait to hear. I cannot wait to hear. Because it's different for everybody. It's right. Different for everybody, bro.
Right. Did you go by yourself, or did you have somebody with you?
I went by myself.
Wow, man. Solo traveling.
Solo really travel.
Teaches you about yourself.
Bro. I recommend it for everyone. Yes. I recommend it for everyone.
Something that you said earlier, I just want to touch on. Family that's listening, dark night of the soul. I feel like at some point in your life, you go through the dark night of the soul, and there's levels to it, and it is an experience to be had. But let's. Well, I'm very interested in this. I didn't know to ask this question in this kind of way. I'm gonna shift gears a little bit. What's your creative process? You know, because you know you're a really creative guy. You know, directing, producing, you know, writing. What is do your thoughts kind of come up like all at once? Do you get them in pieces? Are you able to see something and kind of riff off of that?
It depends. Like, so I smoke a lot of weed, my relationship with marijuana is a bit different from I don't really smoke it to numb myself or to escape, although sometimes, you know, it does that. I smoke it to kind of cross realms, you know, like, and it just brings me to this higher space. And when I create out of that space, I feel so in love with not only myself, but everything that's around me. So what you've been seeing lately, just like with the content I've been posting and the plants and the painting and the art, that's kind of just me being in the moment and just being in love with everything that's in front of me. Like, I'm just seeing everything and I can see the beauty and everything from like this higher vibration. When it comes to like the more scripted content, like films and stuff like that, the process is more so just like, I get this idea, and sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's not, but I want to venture into it, you know? Like, sometimes I get a whole script done just because of one sentence that I've thought of, and I'm like, well, that would be a pretty cool thing to hear on screen, and then I just build something around that. And I also like to poke fun at what's happening in or around the world. So last year I shot a short film called, it originally was called Hollow Kitten, but I'm changing the name. The name didn't mean anything. I just thought it was a cool name, Hollow Kitten. I don't know why, but then the subject matter kind of connected too much to it, and I didn't like it the way it connected to it, and it was kind of disrespectful to the audience or whatever the case is. But anyway, the film was about a guy who's just like been off of Instagram, he's been off of socials, he spent some time traveling, and he's been on, you know, like he's been on his journey, and now he's catching up with some friends. He's at like an evening out, like a little wine mixer, and he's catching up with this homegirl, and he goes, yo, how's your husband, how's the baby? And she goes, my husband's great, he should be coming later, and our baby died a few months ago, but she's just like completely okay. And he's just like, what? Like, you know, like he's just so shocked, and they have this crazy conversation, and then she's just like, he has like a breakdown, and he goes, yo, we're in here, we're partying, we're laughing with this woman, but her baby died a few months ago. And he goes, that's not good news, like that's very much bad news. And then everyone's like, yeah bro, like I don't know where you've been, but it's all bad news, it's all we have, like it's okay. Like, and like, sure. The film is about like the news and the messages that we get fed daily, and how we're so numb to it all, and we're just laughing and partying through everything, but the shit that we're living through is traumatic, you know. But every weekend we're out, including myself, we're out and we're smiling and we're just living through that shit. I don't know if there was a point in time where things were different, but it just seems so much. It's just so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting. Yeah, it does seem like it's just always one thing after another distraction. No, this is happening, and then this is happening. It seems like you've been able to take a step back from the matrix and be able to see it for what it really is. You know, your trips down to Peru, taking ayahuasca, your creative endeavors. It seemed like you had what they would call your red pill moment. Were you able to see the matrix for what it is? When did that happen?
I say that happened, and I've noticed that in you too, a lot, by the way. That I'd say maybe a year and a half ago, when I had to learn to detach my value, my inner worth, from monetary and material value. And from there, I was kind of able to kind of just see everything from a scope. Like, one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever gotten was from my stepfather, actually. He said, you'll never be able to escape the matrix, but being aware that you're in it is the way around it. So I live in the States. I have to pay rent. I have to pay taxes. I have to have a job. You know, like, these are things that I have to do to, you know, live or whatever like that. But I don't have to kill myself to be able to say I have this amount of money in my bank account, or I own this car or that piece of clothing. That is, I mean, like, you know, I feel like a lot of us have this super stress on ourselves when it comes to money and our attachment to money and having to have it. It's a tool. Financial stability should always be the goal, but I can't trade that in for my soul and my time and my entire life just to say, like, when I retire, that, you know, like, oh, I can chill or whatever. Like, I have to find some happiness in the now. And to find some happiness in the now, I need to connect with nature and stillness and just being just as much as I would connect to working or projects or having time to, you know, dedicate to someone else's goal and dream.
Right. I agree 100%. And I think that is why traveling is vital. It is so necessary. It is so important, especially to travel. I mean, it's great, you know, if you have a partner or you have friends, you can travel, but to travel by yourself, you find out a lot about yourself and you get to see things from other perspectives. You know, this is a big house we live in, you know, so go see other rooms.
When I say, like, when I bring up Western culture, if you haven't traveled and traveled alone and delved into other cultures around the world, you wouldn't get the concept of this is just a very specific working 9 to 5, working so much overtime hours, the amount we pay for rent, the amount we stress ourselves over materialistic things. This is a very Western ideology, you know? And there's other cultures who live a lot freer and a lot more simpler than us. And it's okay. They're okay. They're out there smiling, loving each other. Like, their family dynamics are different than ours. Even the dynamic of, you know, like, going to college, living on your own, and then meeting someone and then, you know, moving in with them. Like, that's a Western thing as well, you know? Like, there's cultures where the family stays together. You know, like, you know, sometimes you'll get people who find their own space and all that too, but for the most part, the family stays together. The family raises the children, or the children, you know, partake in the community of children and they kind of raise themselves too. But, like, our culture is a very specific and new, and to me, in my opinion, just not the greatest culture, because we stress work and monetary values so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very much a capitalistic, individualist, old, small dick, insecure,
yes,
mindset, energy.
All of that.
And what we're seeing, which is what an amazing time to be alive, because we are literally in real time, not in the future, it's happening right now. We are seeing the fall of that energy, that type of mindset, that way of living life. I feel like we are really seeing the end of that. But much like a starving animal, when you back it in the corner, that's when it's its most dangerous, because it is fighting for its survival. But that energy, that paradigm, that mindset, all those things that you spoke about, I think that's dying. It's dying. It's dying with the age of Pisces as we enter the age of Aquarius, age of information, age of freedom, the age of truth, the age of reality. Yeah. So
I feel that too. I feel the tides turning. I feel it all shifting. I do feel that.
You spoke about family dynamic, and I think the way that you have displayed the relationship and bond that you have with your daughter is amazing. I commend you on that. And I know just being a father is a whole job lifestyle on itself, and, you know, coupling that with being a creator. But what was that something that you planned on doing? Did you plan on putting out, like, the short films, the content with your daughter, or that's something that kind of just naturally progressed?
I'd say that naturally progressed. My parenting style is, I think I'm a more lenient, like, I don't push her into anything or push her to do anything. I kind of not, and she's not a lazy kid. Like, she's in gymnastics and she's in swimming, but she's in those things because she wants to be in those things.
Right.
I do carry her with me on set, like, or during my creative things, just so she can, you know, have that knowledge or experience, or just she can just see how it is, and if she likes it, she'll come into it, which she is. I'm a very present dad, so she's with me all the time, so because of that, I get to you know, I like to show my the life that I live on Instagram truthfully. If I'm in a bad space, I like to, you know, people know that I'm in a bad space. Or whatever space I'm in, people know the space. But she's in the space as well. So she just happens to just be there and enjoying the things that I'm enjoying. The short film that we recently just put out just came when the filmmaker Parker Foster just really loved the things that me and Madison would post and the places we would go, and it would always just look scenic and beautiful. And then from there he had this idea, and then Nick Cregan, who we grew up with, kind of just joined in from there to co-direct, and then we just came with this beautiful piece about our relationship.
Shout out to Nick. Yeah, it was absolutely, it was amazing. I love to see things like that because, well, I think that goes back to what we were speaking to just a little bit ago about the family dynamic in just in Western culture, because the family dynamic in the Western culture, unfortunately, is broken in a lot of ways, the nuclear family aspect of it. And to, you know, to see that dynamic on display, you can see that is genuine, that you guys are having fun, that we're more or less flies on the wall of your life, as opposed to, you know, just, you know, filming. You know what that can look like. We all know the difference of something being genuine and something being staged.
Exactly.
Thank you for putting up that content. I hope more people get, you know, eyes, as many eyes on that as possible, so they can just see a different perspective.
I love it. The feedback has been amazing, you know, so that's good.
Yo, do you still have that script in the toolkit? Myself, you and Nick worked on a project a couple of years ago.
I actually completely forgot about that, but I have something similar. I do have something similar that I've just recently wrote a script, and it's the greatest. It's, to me, it's the greatest thing I've ever written.
Oh, wow.
It's called Death Does Therapy, and it's about a therapy session between the Grim Reaper Death and just, like, you know, a renowned therapist. Mm. And essentially the conversation takes place because he feels like he's being overworked. And then the conversation just delves into the concept of death and how it's changed over the years and how it was once respected, and as it was just as respected as life, you know, like, and he says, like, he's in love with life. He loves life so much that he takes pieces of her, which is our, us, you know, death or whatever the case is, but never too much. But now it's just becoming too much. And he's also like, this isn't even the only place where I have to be. He goes, humans are so selfish with death. Like, I have other places to be. And there's this one part where the therapist is just like, so there is life on other planets. And he goes, not just life on other planets, but the planets themselves. You're walking on something living and breathing, and look at what you're doing to it. Like, you know, like, it's I love the concept of it and the talk that they have. It's very beautiful.
Oh my gosh. When do you plan on filming that?
I actually have a producer, and we're about to get the ball rolling soon, but I am taking my time at this point in time right now. After I got back from Brazil, I thought I was going to be in a more creative space, but I'm in a restful space right now. So I'm kind of just like trying to get my, you know, trying to get grounded again. And then whatever space I enter from there, we'll see.
Yeah, that's definitely some of the residue of the eclipse energy.
A restful
time, you know, to gather. You know, we're about to really kick into spring. Yeah, man. I'm always on the move. I travel a lot, but man, I would love to audition for that, because that sounds absolutely amazing. I love the concept of the Grim Reaper. Just like, I'm tired of how shit. All right, I got other things to do. Be here, worry about stuff.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, definitely. Once we get the tapes, like, you know, we're gonna have to send the tapes. I'll send you over the size, and you can send in the tape for sure.
Oh man,
I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it sounds fun. It sounds fun. So I would imagine that, you know, putting out the footage with your daughter and all that, I would imagine that attracts a certain kind of young ladies that just, oh my gosh, Jamal, you're such a great dad. I just want to cook for you. And just...
Y'all, I get the craziest compliments and just like, I don't know, I hear the craziest things in my DMs. But what's crazy is, and weirdly, like, I've been in this space where I haven't really been dating. Us, like, back, like, in high school, like, you know, remember, like, how crazy that was? Like, that was the first thing, you know, our culture, we're from a young Black culture, so, at growing up, it was all about money and girls, like, how much can you get? So, for a long time, it was that. But for once in my life, I'm in this space where I keep choosing me. And I was practicing celibacy for a while, actually, and turning down advances left and right, you know, temptations, not watching porn, quitting that completely, and just fixing your brain from whatever that energy was as well, and all that do to you. And then just spending time for yourself. Recently, though, I did meet a girl, and on paper, she is perfect. She was great, but something, I don't know if it was fear or intuition, but you know, I had to have a conversation with, like, something in my spirit is telling me I can't jump yet, and I had to end it because I don't know if I had space to prioritize anything else other than what's in front of me that I've created on my own at this moment in time right now. Which is crazy because I do yearn for, you know, my whole thing is, you follow me on Instagram, my whole thing is love and wanting to be loved and, you know, having that feminine energy in my space. But, you know, I just had to make a call. It's just like, yo, right now I have more of myself to love by myself. So, yeah.
Man, you said a few top tier, high level things, man. So, because that's not... I mean, I want to start from the beginning because I want to touch on a few points that you made because those are powerful and I don't think enough people talk about it. Maybe at this point, it's definitely not taboo, but I don't think this is something that's maybe talked about enough is the effects that I don't want to knock anybody that does it because I have benefited from it, but I think there comes a time where you should back away from porn because it does have negative effects on it. I mean, you know, kind of like anything, I guess it just really depends on how you use it. But I think there kind of comes a time when you back away from porn. For me, it's never, I don't think it's taken away from my experience with being with a young lady watching porn, but I felt like it was taking away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, looking at that black screen and, like, you know what I'm saying, you're giving up your life force, you know what I'm saying, you're watching these other people. I feel like it was really just taking away from me. And I think, especially with us men, our life force, our semen is so important. And nobody was talking to us about that when we were younger, about the importance of not necessarily just semen retention, but just not just going around and just spilling your seed everywhere.
Right. No one has ever taught me that. I had to learn that the hard way. Right. Which is crazy. No one has ever taught us that, which is crazy. I never noticed that until you said that.
Did you get to a point with sex? Because I noticed you said there's a point where you practice celibacy. I had an experience with a young lady where I had just got lied to and deceived and just like the rug just completely just swept from, I mean, landed like right on the top of my head because that's how hard the rug was just swept from under me. And that made me look at sex differently because I was just like, I don't want to have sex with strangers anymore.
Right. Right.
Did that lead to you practicing celibacy for a bit?
That was a huge part of it. Not only I want to feel connected to the person. Once I started holding myself sacred and myself at a higher vibration, I realized that the people who I share my physical space with needs to be of that vibration. Not only that, but am I being honest in this vibration? Like, am I using this person just for her body, or are we on the same page? Can I commit to whatever she's looking for in exchange for this physical? So I can meet other people, other spiritual beings, and I can just tell the same lies and just get them over here or whatever, like, and they're of my vibration. But that lowers the vibration as a whole. So after a while, it's just like, I don't want to waste anybody's time. I don't even want to put myself in a position to have a conversation like, yo, just to let you know, I don't really want to commit to nothing, but if you're down to have da-da-da, I don't even want to do that. So it was just better for me to just be like, stay to yourself right now, learn to love yourself, and if something comes your way and it makes sense, then it makes sense. But for now, you need to stay to yourself right now.
Absolutely, man. I am 100%. Down with that. Yeah, I got to that point too where it's just like, I don't even want to. It's like, yeah, I'm honest with you and we can do this, but it's just like, I don't even.
It's not that necessary right now.
right. And then it's just like, now I feel like, oh my gosh, like, I got to that point. It's just like, well, young lady, you shouldn't just be with anybody that just wants you for your body. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's so easy to fall into that space, like, of just like. And then, you know, I also realized there's a time where if I did like somebody, like, and I was like, okay, this is good. And then I had physical relations, my feelings would change immediately. I don't know if it's because I even had to like dive into it, you know, in therapy or just like in research. It's like, sometimes after you share physical relations, you don't get the emotional response that you were looking for. And so just even that was tiring. And then I was just like, it's definitely me. It's not anyone else. It's definitely me. You know, I have more inner work to do. And when I do have these physical relationships with people, I want it to be of a healing thing. Like, I want it to mean something, you know? Like, I feel like my life, I've worked hard to make my life very artful and meaningful and beautiful. And I want that to be a part of it too. I want it to be artful, meaningful, and beautiful. You know, I want to share space with someone who I know is going to be here for a while. And I just don't really have any, you know, need to just venture out and just do it just cause. So, yeah.
Well, if you were to meet a young lady and she checked all the boxes mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, what does that look like? What does she look like?
I don't know. I've my last stint in dating, it has been everything from type A. That hasn't felt right, you know, had a job, whatever, and hasn't felt right. And I was like, she needs to be more spiritual. Then I got, you know, the spiritual and had bread, fly, pretty, attractive. And it's still just, you know, I still just couldn't jump. So for me, the answer is, I don't know what it looks like, but I know what it feels like. And I know what it should feel like. And that's what I'm looking for, essentially. Like, I'm looking for feeling itself, you know, like. And I'm hoping, if we're being honest and transparent, I'm hoping I'm not chasing a feeling from a past relationship that I still think about and, you know, whatever the case is there, I still feel attached to. I'm hoping I'm not chasing that feeling, but I do know what it feels like, and that's what I'm looking for. I feel like if I don't feel it, then I'll be settling, and then that's just not, I can't do that. If I settle, I'll be abandoning myself, and I cannot do that.
Right, absolutely. So I think what I've seen work for other people, and I think what is starting to work for myself, is it's easy to get to, it sounds kind of opposite, but it's easy to get to what we want by knowing what we don't want.
Yes.
So do you have, or have you ever thought about, what are your non-negotiables with dealing with a young lady. So I'll give you an example. So at this point, I have been vegetarian since 2017. I've dated women that have not lived the same lifestyle, and it's been okay. Now I'm at a point where if we're being romantic and we're being connected in that way, I can't. I just can't anymore. I just can't. If you don't eat the same way I do, that is just a non-negotiable for me. That is just a deal breaker. So do you have non-negotiables?
Maybe. One thing I try to, I don't want to judge anybody, and I don't want anyone to feel judged.
No, it's not. No, man, it's not a judgment. It's just, that's just not going to work for you.
I can't do, I like to pay attention to things like how you spend your time on, So if I see like you consuming just like, I mean, I like to have a drink here and there, but if I see like your main thing is just consuming alcohol and, you know, just being of a certain essence and just, you know, every night it's, you know, let's get lit. I kind of try to stay away from that because I like stillness and, you know, in moments of quiet and spirituality, and I just like to know what's happening with my body. And if I'm sharing my body with you, I like a healthy body to share it with as well, you know? Also, your mind, you have to be open-minded. I just recently converted to Islam. I'm Sufi, and you don't have to be a Muslim. You know, I'm a Muslim woman for me to date you, a Sufi woman for me to date you. You can be whatever it is, but the open mind and just like the acknowledgement of other religions and gods and deities and essences, like, and just like the respect for it as well, is huge. So if you don't have that, that's the big non-negotiable. So I can never really date a nationalist or an extremist or anything like that.
And then my bad, man. You just felt like you opened up a whole other flood of questions. We just said apologies to cut your wisdom, but please.
No, all good. All good.
Okay, so what inspired? I very much admire the Nation of Islam, an honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and all his predecessors, and, you know, Brother Ben X, 19 Keys, RZA, Islam. I really respect those brothers, the work that they do, the due diligence, and all the sisters that they do. And, you know, my time living in New York, living in Harlem at one point, so always seeing them. What inspired you to make that move?
I always felt connected to Middle Eastern culture for some reason. Well, my name is Jamal, and when my mother had me, she was actually practicing Islam. She converted back to Christianity, those Seventh-day Adventists, which is still like close to an Eastern culture. No pork, so I've never had pork a day in my life. And, you know, just a lot of similarities. And just through my name, I've always connected with the people just through my name alone. As soon as they hear my name is Jamal, they would always ask me if I'm Muslim or not. And so with the last year, I took my shahada in private, and then I joined a Sufi community, the Nur Ashqi Jarahi Sufi order in the city. And I went with Sufism. I mean, so much things had aligned for me to get there, from scriptures and things that people have sent to me, to dreams, heavy dreams, about just being in the Middle East. And then once I connected with the Sufis, who were like one of the first cultures I had to learn about through one of my first teachers, it's the mystical branch of Islam, and that just sounds like it's right up my alley. I consider myself a mystic, and they're not hardcore. Like, you could go in there, you pray, you twirl, they hold zikr on Thursday nights, and it's just a beautiful community, and they're very heavy on the arts, poetry, music, painting, dancing. And I just, that was just kind of right up my alley. And their philosophy as well it's just as beautiful as their practices, you know. So they're like, you know, like our great, the great poet, Rumi, who's a Sufi, you know, he says something like, I was looking for myself and found God, and I was looking for God and I found myself. And that's how I see it. That's how I feel it. It also gives me room to still believe and hold on to my belief that we're not alone in this universe. And there's for sure a higher creator. There's a higher being for sure, but we're not alone. And what I think, you know, I don't think God is a guy sitting in a chair telling you you're going to go to heaven or hell. I think heaven and hell is something you experience on this planet. But there is a higher being for sure and a reason for all of this. So Sufism allows me to kind of take all of that in while giving me a structured religious practice, who I still believe, you know, I still believe we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and we're all above religion, which is very man-made and man-made rules. We're all above that, but there is some structure and community there that I absolutely love, and that's why I went with that.
Man, I love that. I love that for you. That sounds absolutely amazing. Structure and community is paramount to the masculine principles, paramount to the world. And yeah, man, I'm happy that you decided to take that path. Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's definitely what's up.
Thank you, bro.
If, as we start to land this plane home, if there were two people in history, dead or alive, past, present, future, that you could sit down and have a conversation with, who would those two people be?
Oh my God. I'm gonna save the one that I already know, and it's crazy that you asked me that because I've been thinking about this for like 2 weeks straight. So first I'll go with, let me just think about it. I think I might go with, holy shit, that's such a good question. that is such a good question. All right, the one that I do know is my mother in high school.
Wow, okay.
So if I could go back in time at this age now, I would want to speak to the high school version of my mom. Maybe even the middle school, just like this. I want to see like my mom before life happened to her, this pure and innocent version of my mother. Not to say she's not pure and innocent now, but you know, life happens to everybody, you know?
Right.
That's the biggie. And then maybe, shit, like so much philosophers are coming to my mind. I would want to speak. I don't know if I have a name, but what's calling me right now is like maybe like a high priestess of some indigenous community somewhere in South America or Africa. And I would want to talk to them about the land and the things that they take from the land and how it affects them. And I think I'll do that, but way back in time, way back in time.
Interesting. Okay, got a little bit of Marty McFly action going back and talking to his mom in high school. All right, if there were two places in time that you could travel to, past, present, or future, where would you go to?
Oh, shit. I would go to... the Middle East during the time of like Marcus Aurelius was coming into power in Rome, I believe. I forgot the exact date of that time, but when society was like coming to its like, all right, we're structuring society in these ways and we're building these beautiful cities. I would love to visit the Middle East while it was thriving in that. I would also like to visit the planet right before or right at the beginning of the human experience. Right at the beginning of like the, like, you know, I want to see the first batch and I want to see the plants and the animals that existed at that time too.
What does the perfect script look like to you?
The perfect script?
Yes.
God damn. Dune 1 and Dune 2. the perfect scripts. Romeo and Juliet, the 96 Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet. Perfect.
Okay, I wasn't expecting Romeo and Juliet. Okay, all right.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
Wow. All right. Interesting. Why Romeo and Juliet?
Specifically the 96 version, the Baz Luhrmann one. Because it's modern day with the Shakespearean script, so they're speaking in old English, but they're toting guns and driving cars. The set design is dramatic and beautiful. And as is the script and the words being spoken, it's all poetry. And just the imagery of how they capture love at first sight, love itself, just through the, what they wear, the clothing, what's in between them, the colors. It's one of the most perfect pieces of art from our generation. And I love that movie, bro.
If you want to go, watch it. And I do love the old English.
Have you seen that?
It's been a long time.
Rewatch it.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it for better context now. Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm a lot more in tune with Shakespeare now. I can just understand it a lot more now. So yeah, and I did it in college and stuff like that. But now, as you mature, you just start to see things for what they really are. You can see the beauty and, you know, and the essence of it.
Right. I think you're gonna love the I think you're gonna appreciate the language in it. It's fast, you know, like it's a fast movie. I love it.
If you could jump 10 years from now and have a conversation with your daughter, what would that look like? What would that sound like?
10 years, she'd be about 19, 20. I have no idea, bro. I can't even see that far ahead. I guess I'll just be like, yo, are you good? Like, are you happy? Like, yeah. I don't know what that would look like, honestly. You know, like, I'll get there. But, right. You know.
What has been the most rewarding part of being a father?
I'd say that I kind of knew what kind of father I wanted to be, and as I am him now, it is what I thought it would be, which is great. And even then, some, like I said, like my daughter is 9 years old. She turns 10 in October, right? And she came to me one day and she's like, "Dad, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to get upset." And I'm like, "What's up?" And she told me she has like a little boyfriend in school, RJ Bailey, fourth grade. And his name is Elijah. Like, it's the cool, like, he's so cool. Like, I can't even be mad at it. But anyway, it's important for her to be able to come to me and tell me things like that. So I know I had to, I always knew like the day would come, and I don't even deem this as serious, it's the fourth grade, you know? But I always thought that when the day would come where she would come to me about this and I would say, I would have two options. I could take the upset, I'm gonna kill him father route, or I can be like, I can be understanding about it, and I can just, the best advice I can give her is respect yourself, have respect for yourself, have respect for your body, have respect for your family. And that's the only advice I'll be able to give her all through her life. And I want her to be able to trust me and come to me with things, and she won't if I'm gonna lash out and have these very masculine, you know, like, what the fuck, like, whatever the case is. But it's also important to know for any future fathers, we were young. It doesn't matter what kind of parents, you know, the girls we spoke to had. Actually, if the tougher the parents, the easier the girl, you know? It's important to have that leniency with your kid to go and live their life, you know, like, and they'll find that respect themselves if you let them go find it. You know, like, if they're used to the rooms and you're presenting them, like, I go to poetry every Monday night, me and my boy, we go to a poetry night, and I was like, yo, I might have to bring Madison here one of these nights, and then he asked me, you don't think it's, some of the content could be a little advanced, and then I was like, yo, you know what, it can be, but Madison's an advanced kid in some, in certain ways, like, you know, she thinks ahead, and obviously, like, with all the books, plants, and shit that I have around the house, she takes to certain things, but I would like her to get introduced to certain topics through poetry and slam poetry, and hearing women talk about owning themselves and their body, you know, like, around this age, like, that's probably one of the better ways to introduce that, like, kind of, like, you know, those topics to your kids, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so that's the main thing. I always wanted to be a lenient dad who would let his kid explore, and then that's kind of who I've become. And just trusting that she'll make the right decisions as she grows older. And every decision won't be right, you know. So it's fine. I didn't make all the right decisions, but I might have not made a single right decision. But I'm here, and so yeah.
No, I read a quote the other day, and I think it's very important. If I can go back and erase all my mistakes, then I would be erasing the person who I am today.
And that's a beautiful quote. I love that.
Yeah.
So. I love that. I'm going to write that down after we get off the phone.
Yeah, man. So, as we start to wind it down, man, what is something that you would want the world to know? What is, if you had a minute to give a message to the world, what is it that you would want to say?
I'd say that one of the biggest things I've learned through this journey is you won't be able to love anyone or anything completely and correctly until you love yourself. You'll continue to hurt others, girlfriends, boyfriends, children, friends, co-workers, whatever, if you're not finding that happiness within. You cannot be a happy friend, you cannot be a happy brother, sister, you can't be a happy father or mother if you're not happy within yourself. The beauty you see in everything around you is a reflection of the beauty you see in yourself. And until you find that inner balance and that inner peace, there will continue to be turmoil and disruption. But really look inward.
Man, I love that, man. That was absolutely beautiful. If the people wanted to get in contact with you, they wanted to collaborate with you, where can they find you at, and how can they get in contact with you?
You can just hit me up on Instagram, Sage the Racer. Everything just spelled correctly, no underscores or anything like that. SAGE the Racer. And hit me up.
No. Right. Yo, man, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on to the Richie Moon Show. This is a part two. I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe.
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like 2 years ago, man. So yes, thank you for giving us your insight on, you know, being a father, being a creator, moving through life as a man, moving through life as a human being, your insight, your perspective, your point of view. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
No problem, bro. Thank you for having me. Thank you for seeing me, you know, as my being and wanting to hear about anything I would have to say or think. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I only bring people on platform that I think that is cool. That's why my topics range is just so wide, because I just bring people on that I think are cool, that have cool stories to tell, that have insight and lessons that are valuable to the world. And with that being said, man, that was an amazing conversation. You can, I think, family, you can get even more context from this conversation, if you go back and listen to our part one, because I did ask some follow-up questions, you know, and I did bridge some questions from the last interview to this time. And yes, you got all the socials where to find them. This is a great guy, this is a great father, this is a great director. So if you're an artist out there, definitely tap in. And you know how I always end this off, family? Life is gonna lead us off with many choices, and there will always be two factors. That is fear and love. Please always choose love and never let fear taint your beautiful, joyful, playful, childish-like heart. That has been Jamal. I have been Richie Moon, and that is a Moon's Eye View. Peace, family.